What you're about to hear is true, disturbing, unnerving, but it must be heard on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, friends, and we are going to have a very eye-opening, important show today as I speak with Dexter Van Zyl. I'll introduce him in a moment. But the subject of anti-Semitism is very interesting and complex. On the one hand, it's easy to brand any criticism of the Jewish people, any criticism of Israel, as anti-Semitism. And I constantly see people blasting us in YouTube the moment we bring up anti-Semitism. Oh, everything is anti-Semitism. You can't even criticize Jews. Whereas I say every time I bring up the subject, it's not anti-Semitic to bring valid criticisms against the Jewish people or Israel. So on the one hand, it can be brought up too much the moment there is a criticism. That's just being anti-Semitic. On the flip side, when we expose ugly anti-Semitism, demonizing of the Jewish people, delegitimizing of the state of Israel, spreading of libel, spreading of slander against Jewish people as individuals or as a people because they are Jews, when we do point it out, many are slow to see it. Well, it's twisted or it's fable or the Jews deserve it, which, of course, all of those are anti-Semitic positions as well. So we are going to look at this with surgical precision today. We're going to focus on one prominent Catholic anti-Semite as well, Dr. E. Michael Jones. For the record, he was on the show with me, then took offense to my saying his positions were anti-Semitic, although I made plain from the start that was my viewpoint. And I've since challenged him by personal email and in public, challenged him, let's have a public debate as to whether or not your views are anti-Semitic. And thus far, it's been a good number of weeks, months now, a couple months. He has declined to even respond to my invitation to have a public debate. Doesn't say, well, stop saying my views are anti-Semitic. Well, let's have a public debate to discuss it. My guest, Dexter Van Zyl, is going to help us sort out these important issues. 866-34-TRUTH, as always, the number to call if you have a question for us, only relevant to anti-Semitism today, 866-348-7884. Without further ado, Dexter, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Dexter, before we find out more about your own background, religious background, and why Israel has become important to you, I came to know your work with great appreciation through CAMRA, camra.org. So tell our listeners and viewers what CAMRA is and what exactly you do for CAMRA.
Historically has been known as the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America. And now we are calling ourselves the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting and Analysis because we've pretty much gone global. And essentially, CAMRA was founded in the 1980s to counter anti-Israel propaganda and anti-Israel bias in the American media. And because one of the things that they understood, the founders, was that this bias had a real impact on American foreign policy and attitudes towards Israel. And as the years progressed, it became increasingly evident that it had an impact on people's attitudes towards Jews in the United States as well. And over the past decade and a half, one of the things that we've discovered or had to observe is that this has become a much more prevalent issue. Hostility towards Israel has become a fulcrum for hostility or a funnel for hostility against American Jews in ways that you wouldn't have seen in maybe the 1980s or 90s, but now it's here.
Yeah, it is here, shockingly so, undeniably so, and we'll unpack some of that. To give an idea of some of the things that CAMRA does, let's use the example, say, of a misleading newspaper headline or of incorrect information in school textbooks. Give our folks an overview of some of what you've done, or give some specific examples and the results that you've gotten in the process?
Well, one of the things, a typical headline about Israel will often be that Israel kills three Palestinians. And what happens is that they don't mention that those three Palestinians prior to the attack, Israel's acts of self-defense and the tragic deaths of those Palestinians, these people might very well, or, you know, have typically been terrorists who've launched attacks against Israelis. And then once, this was a long time ago, there was a historic, this was a big event. I don't remember all of the details. This was maybe 10 or 20 years ago. There was a picture of an Israeli soldier standing behind a young man bleeding from his face. And the headline and the caption portrayed it as if the Israeli soldier had just struck this person, when in fact this person had actually been struck by a Palestinian and the Israeli soldier was protecting him and trying to get somebody to help him.
Mm.
And so what we see is that there's an awful lot of tendency in the media, New York Times, The Washington Post, and also on the major networks, and now also increasing enough on the on YouTube and also on internet news outlets. And so what we do is we will oftentimes contact our supporters and ask them to write letters to the editor and explain to them why their coverage is wrong. And I deal primarily with the Christian world, and one of the things that we will do is that when a website or an article or a publication offers up misinformation about the Arab-Israeli conflict, I'll write a number of articles about it. And also sometimes we will ask people to write letters to the leaders of that church as well to say, look, there's a problem with the way that you're dealing with the Arab-Israeli conflict. And also recently the New York Times has been a perennial problem.
Yep.
It's been a problem for years and years. And one of the things that we have done recently is to put up a billboard right across the street from the office of the New York Times raising concerns about their coverage. Just to let people know, and so that as they go into their jobs in the morning and when they leave their work in the afternoon or whatever, whenever their shift is done, they see that ad. And so one of the things that we have discovered is that they may not correct immediately. They will kind of just stonewall and try and brazen it out. But then the next time one of these outlets will address the same issue, for example, they'll say that it's Jewish-only roads in the West Bank, when in fact it's Israeli-only roads, whereas, you know, Israeli Arabs can use those roads. The next time they'll address that issue, they will actually report it accurately. They may not correct in the past, their past record, but going forward, they'll get it right. And
yeah.
Really what we're hoping for.
Camera is making a difference. I've seen retractions. I've seen corrections. So, again, this has been well-documented. BBC's been guilty of it. L.A. Times has been guilty of it, that there'll be a headline, three Israelis dead, and it doesn't tell you that they were killed by terrorists. But then if the Israelis right. kill the terrorists, Israel kills three Palestinians. So the thing is very misleading. It changes the emotional outlook. But you've also tracked things in textbooks as well. So this is what kids are reading in school about the Arab-Israeli conflict. Can you give us an example of the types of stuff that gets reported in textbooks that is inaccurate that camera.org has then confronted, and again, often with good results?
Now this is one of the difficulties, is that we have to explain to people that there has been a concerted effort to basically influence virtually every aspect of American civil society when it comes to dealing with the Arab-Israeli conflict.
Yep.
And the public schools and also private schools, I would suspect, are the same thing, same problems. But and so what happens is that we get complaints from parents, and they will say, look, the teacher will omit any reference to the hostility towards Israel and Palestinian civil society, and also the role that the Palestinian leaders promote and use basically anti-Semitism as a way to unify their people. It's a unifying political agenda, And we have a problem right here in Massachusetts with the Newton school system, and there's basically a fair number of biased educators that don't want to speak the truth. And so what we've done is that we've basically educated the public about the aspect, about the problems with the curriculum, and we've gone and looked at the curriculum, and it'll omit basically, you know, the attacks in the Six-Day War. They'll omit and just start with the occupation. That will be, and it'll be ahistorical. And so, and we've had some real success in basically at least drawing attention to the problem. And over the long haul, what happens is that eventually teachers will come around, even if they are unhappy about the attention that's being directed at them. And I think that's one of the things that we've really worked on, is to basically just push it's most of the time you'll find that one of the bigger problems isn't misstatements of fact, it's just omissions of fact.
Mm. So it would be basically you and I are in a boxing match, and you hit me three times, I block two of the punches, take one straight on the nose, I punch you back on the nose, and the headline is Brown punches Van Zyl on the nose. So
right, that's basically been the narrative about, and this, there's an underlying agenda here, which is to promote an obsession and a fear about Jewish power. That's
yep.
really all it is. And that's really one of the, that's what it's been for decades. And the thing is that for the first 50 years after the Holocaust, I think people who lived through the Holocaust or who knew about it or lived during the Holocaust understood the problems with this type of narrative. But the younger generations of people, they don't understand what's going on. And they think that this is only special pleading for the Jewish people, when in fact anti-Semitism will destroy a society just the same way that it destroyed Europe. And because it makes people unable to look closely at the world and really come up with an honest explanation for what's going on. Because anti-Semitism is essentially a worldview that allows people to explain everything that goes wrong in their world by pointing the finger at the Jew.
Yeah, so that is a massively important, large statement, friends. This affects the whole of the society, and we're seeing it unfold in front of our eyes. Just look at the comments that will come in today in the weeks ahead from anti-Semites saying the Jews do control the world, the Jews are in power, the Jews are this or that, the Jews should be expelled from America. Just watch the comments that are going to be posted. We are just laying the foundation. Friends, call a friend, text a friend, tell them to tune in. This is an important interview.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question relative to anti-Semitism, I'm speaking with Christian media analyst working for Camera.org, Dexter Van Zyl. When I'm asked about important sites on the Israeli-Arab conflict, on anti-Semitism, on related subjects, this is one of the three sites I always tell people to go to: camera.org, and then memory.org, memorytv.org, and palwatch.org, those focusing even more specifically on Middle Eastern Israeli issues, Camera looking at a more wide worldwide level than America as far as anti-Semitism. But Dexter, for those who haven't read your articles, which are careful and I find to be surgical in their arguments, is it ever fair to criticize Jewish people and to say, you know, why are so many Jews, like on the liberal, radical left side of things, like George Soros, or, you know, why are so many Jews involved in the ADL or the SPLC, and they seem to be on some, you know, the wrong, they're pro-abortion and these other things, or I don't think Israel's always fair to the Palestinians. Is that okay to make criticisms like that?
Well, I get a little, I don't mind it when people criticize Israel, okay, as long as I know that the criticism is fair and accurate. and is reasonable. One of the things that I get a little nervous about is when people start to point out the presence of Jews in political movements and social movements and say, look, they're behind everything. Because, you know, there's, and that's, I think, and the thing is that I don't think, you know, I think that it's fair to say that there are a fair number of people who, American Jews who are on the left, and there's a fair number of prominent Jews on the right. But the problem is that essentially when you start to reduce these political movements to Jewish movements, that's the problem. And, you know, there's one of the myths or one of the concerns, whenever people start talking about Judeo-Bolshevism, for example, get very, very uncomfortable. And the fact is that there were a significant number of Jews in the leadership of the Communist Party, in the Soviet Union. And one of the reasons why was because is that they were literate, and they were articulate, and they were seeking to basically escape the Jewish condition that they were, you know, experiencing either in Russia or in the Pale of Settlement in Poland. They had a very rough life, and communism looked like a way for them to escape it. But then when somebody like Alexander Solzhenitsyn comes along, he says, well, they became communists so that they could basically get revenge on the Russians. It was like, no, that's not what they were looking to do. What they were looking to do was to basically escape the conditions that they were facing. And once you start talking about everything being the, you know, when you reduce a dangerous political movement like communism, I don't think any to something like Judeo-Bolshevism, you basically omit the fact that there were huge numbers of Jews that didn't have anything to do at all with the movement and were in fact opposed to it. And that's a very difficult thing to have to deal with. And I think one of the best sources for this is a book called The Jewish Century, written by Yuri Slezkine. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name properly. And he says, look, when you're looking at Jews in the 20th century, they had three places that they could go, essentially. They could go to Jerusalem, or they could go to Palestine, they could go to the United States, or they could go to Moscow, so to speak. And that, and if they were, you know, literate and had any money, and if they were able to advance, that's the, those are the places they went to. But the, and the thing is that oftentimes then people ignore the fact that there are Jews who are involved in other political movements that they accept or praise or think are a good thing. You know, if you are a conservative and all you're doing is paying attention to the role that that Jews played in liberal politics, then you're ignoring the fact that there was a fair number of them were, that were involved in conservative politics as well.
Right.
And at a certain point, it's kind of like, you know, do the Jews get to make the same mistakes that the rest of us make, or are they somehow singularly responsible for? And that's really what bothers me, because once people start saying, and I guess, you know, this is E. Michael Jones to a tease, a Roman Catholic, and he says that if it weren't for Jews, we wouldn't have abortion in America. And he has said that explicitly, and when he said that, I almost fell over, because I wanted to say, you know, and Owen Benjamin, who's one of his acolytes, falsely stated that the judges who decided Roe v. Wade were all Jewish. And that was, in fact, not true. I at a certain point, but it was still one of those tropes that, that somehow seemed to seep into the thinking of Owen Benjamin, because, and probably through E. Michael Jones. And so this notion that we reduce, there's no simple explanation for anything important any of us do. And folks like E. Michael Jones would reduce, would give us a simple explanation, and it's always the Jew.
Right. So the problem is that that's a lot easier for people to grasp. It's always the Jew. It's always the Jew. That's easy. That's a few words. Everybody gets that. So all you need is one bad apple among Jewish people, or among 10 apples, three bad apples, and that proves it's always the Jew. So, you know, Rick Wiles, for example, True News, said that the sexual revolution was a Zionist conspiracy. It's like, well, I didn't know that Alfred Kinsey, really the father of the sexual revolution with his famous books, began coming out in 1948. I didn't know he was Jewish. And I didn't know that Hugh Hefner or Larry Flint or these other guys were Jewish. But you say the thing, it's out there, and because there is so much Jew hatred through the centuries and Jews get demonized and scapegoated, it's very easy for people to just go with that. It's an easier meme than for you to say, yeah, there were Jews involved with this and there are Jews on the other side of this. When I asked E. Michael Jones, well, what about the Dennis Pragers and the Ben Shapiros and the other, and I started listing other conservative voices, the David Horowitz, is that, well, he had an issue with all of them, you know, and whatever. So it doesn't matter that you can destroy the lie, because the lie is believed for the very lie that it is, because people think, yeah, it is the Jews trying to take over. And the moment I say anything like this, I'm a Zionist shill. I'm still waiting for the money, Dexter. I'm paid by these. I'm a secret Mossad agent. That's what I've been told, because I deal with these things. So just for clarity's sake, Dexter, what's your own religious background?
I am a Roman Catholic. I grew up a member of the United Church of Christ, which is a liberal mainline Protestant church. And if they hadn't turned against Israel and basically trafficked in some very ugly tropes about Israel, I probably would have died a member of that church. I was a president of, I was the chairman of two board of deacons of two local UCC churches, which are basically the Congregationalists, at least in New England. And then at the age of 43, I left the United Church of Christ and became a Roman Catholic. I don't want to get into too much detail, but
But you are a practicing Roman Catholic.
Right. And one of the reasons why my wife was Roman Catholic and my children were being raised Roman Catholic, but it also became evident to me that, well, I had hoped that Nostra Aetate, the statement that came out in 1965 as a result of the Second Vatican Council, which said that we're not going to demonize the Jews anymore, I still have hopes for that. That was pretty decisive for a lot of churches other than the Roman Catholic Church. But now, as a result, E. Michael Jones is one of those people that says, no, we need to go back to our old understanding of the Jew as an enemy of the human race and of the church.
So do you feel that Dr. E. Michael Jones, Catholic scholar, and very, very strongly puts forth his Catholic identity when he told me on the air that, yes, the Jews are the enemies of all mankind, and he has to say that because Paul says it, and obviously terribly misrepresenting Paul's point there in 2 Thessalonians 2, but 1 Thessalonians 2, excuse me. But do you feel that E. Michael Jones is speaking widely for Catholic leadership and the Catholic Church?
No, I don't. I'm pretty confident that that's not the case. I've reached out to some people within the Catholic Church, and I've written a letter to, I'll reveal this on your show. I've written a letter to Kevin Rhodes, who's the Bishop of Fort Wayne in South Bend, and I've asked him to weigh in on this. And I don't know what he's going to do, but the message or the that I'm getting back is that they understand that E. Michael Jones is not representative of the Catholic faith, and they know that.
And what folks need to know is that, I don't know when you first came in contact with Dr. Jones' writings, but I first did because he was on the same side that I was on a lot of the culture war issues and opposing radical LGBT activism and exposing a lot of the corruption in the culture. And I got some of his stuff earlier and actually quoted it and liked, you know, yeah, I agree with this, like this. Had no idea about the other views. And then got one of his big books and was using it. I thought, whoa, what is that? Whoa, yikes, this guy is a blatant anti-Semite. I was shocked. So this that we're talking about and Owen Benjamin's, this anti-Semitism is coming from the right, even the professing Christian right. So we're going to take that up when we come back. I want to take a call from Brian in Louisville, Kentucky, about this very issue, about anti-Semitism on the right. And then let's find out more, for the sake of truth, let's find out more about some of the views of Dr. E. Michael Jones. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Shake the nation, change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. It's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. My guest, Dexter Van Zyl. He is a Christian media analyst with Camera.org. I encourage you to visit there regularly to check out the latest biased anti-Semitic reporting in the news. Dexter, I want to take some calls and interact with our listeners in a moment, but you've looked more carefully at some of the history of E. Michael Jones in terms of other positions that he has espoused. Again, for those just tuning in, he's a Catholic scholar and, in our view, blatantly anti-Semitic in his positions and in his overall demonizing of, quote, the Jews, who by spiritual nature are evil or subversive in his viewpoint. And I have challenged him to a public, moderated academic debate as to whether his views are, in fact, anti-Semitic. By anti-Semitic, I mean demonizing the Jews as a people. So, Dexter, what else have you uncovered that has disturbed you in terms of his positions?
Well, I think one of the most shocking things was that he appeared in London at an event called the London Forum, which is essentially a gathering of white nationalists. And these people are all fans of David Duke, who is an inveterate anti-Semite. And while he was up at the podium, he said, yeah, I was at another conference a year ago in Mexico called the International Identity Congress, which is kind of another sort of nationalist identitarian movement. And he said, I ran into David Duke himself. And while he was at the London conference, he said, anyone know who David Duke is? And there was a cheer from the crowd. And he said, yeah, a big cheer for David Duke. And then he said that he spent the week trying to convince David Duke to become Catholic, and David Duke tried to convince him that he was a white guy as opposed to essentially a Catholic identitarian, is, I think it would be fair to say. What he wants to do is he's basically reached out to a number of people in the white nationalist movement and the white racist movement, said, look, you guys should get yourself involved with the Roman Catholic Church because you're not going to be able to defeat Jewish power without God's help, and the place to get it is the Catholic Church. I mean, and that's really a fair encapsulation. And one of the things that he says is that he says, look, the people who control the media, who control Hollywood, they've done everything they can. They've used pornography to undermine your masculinity. And what you want to do is and make it so that you don't want to have children. And he does this a little bit with Owen Benjamin. You know, make it so that you can't interact with women from the opposite, from the opposite sex, can't have families, and they want to basically disempower you. And what you want to do is become a Roman Catholic, get baptized, get married, have children. That's the way to have a life. And then work for the conversion of the Jewish people and stand in opposition to the Jews. And that is pretty much his message. And he's been able to get that message out on a fair number of interviews with people on YouTube. And more recently, he's actually gone over to Europe, to Poland in particular, where he's been able to connect with a fair number of, I think they're Catholic anti-Semites in Poland, who want to hear his message that blames Jews for the collapse of Western culture, and in particular Hollywood. He's also gone to Iran and spoke to Shia Muslims in Iran, saying that that Iran was the leader of the free world because these were the only people who were able to stand up to, you know, the Jewish influence on their society. And this is a very repressive society that hangs gays and lesbians. And I don't think you or any of your listeners want to see people murdered.
Of course, of course,
And the thing is that they force women to wear, hijabs, and if they don't, they get thrown in jail. This is not a free society. But he will side with Iran against the Jews because of their cultural power, and it's an appalling message. And the thing is that I think some of the Catholics who have them on their podcast, particularly on YouTube, some of them actually, I think, may in fact agree with him. That's the thing that bothers me. Some may not understand what he's talking about, but it seems to be a sense within the younger traditionalist Catholic community that they want to go back to a pre-Vatican II understanding of theology, and in particular of the Jewish people. And rather than actually embrace the love of Christ, they want to embrace the contempt of the Jew as their unifying principle.
Right. Again, that final line articulates it so, so well. And yes, that Dr. Jones somehow sees the Jews, this is the people as a whole, as in a lifelong battle with the Catholic Church. I mean, I'm Jewish. I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus, but I grew up in a Jewish home, and I've been in the Jewish community in different ways, interacting and preaching Jesus to them for decades. But I can tell you that I can't give you a statistic, but the vast majority of Jews in America, the Catholic Church is the last thing on their mind in terms of we're in battle with the Catholic Church. In any case, what's happening is terribly, terribly dangerous. And even though Dr. Jones says, no, do no harm to the Jews, as I told him on the air, the words he speaks contribute to an atmosphere where there will be actual hostility and violence towards the Jews. Let's interact with some callers. Our call lines are jammed. We start with Brian in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm a longtime fan of yours. My last name's Cohen. I grew up in the Jewish community in Louisville and became Messianic later on in my teen years. My mom's side is Protestant, but my dad is still a, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Jew. My aunt took DNA test recently, 100% Ashkenazi Jewish, so I grew up in that community. Reason I call in is I think personally that anti-Semitism on the right is more serious than on the left. A lot of people talk about anti-Semitism on the left. They talk about anti-Zionism and the intellectuals like Chomsky and, LGBT folks, Allen Ginsberg, the old activist, people in pop culture, Bob Dylan, and people talk about anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism on the left, but the thing is, that's still full of Jews. Whether you're talking about intellectualism on the left or anti-Zionism, even Islam or radical Islam, there are Jews who convert. Google Joseph Cohen. He was a Jew who converted to radical Islam. So anything on the left that you can talk about, whether it be intellectualism, Islam, radical Islam, anti-Zionism, that still is full of ethnic Jews. All those categories I just mentioned still have ethnic Jews. On the far right, you can't be a Jewish Nazi. It may be secretively, but if they found out, they'd kill you, you know? So what I'm saying is anything on the left that is supposedly anti-Semitic or anti-Zionist or Islamic radical can still have ethnic Jews within it. Nothing on the right that's anti-Semitic can have ethnic Jews. If they found out, they'd kick you out. But really, as I say, Google Joseph Cohen. He was a Jew.
Right. Yeah, so let's even put the radical Islam part as well, because I'm sure you'd have, in that sense, Jewish Nazis. Let's look at the larger issue you're raising. Dexter, in your opinion, if you had to say which right now in America is more dangerous, more nefarious, if you had to say one or the other, is it anti-Semitism on the left or on the right?
The anti-Semites on the right are more likely to shoot you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the reality. I would say overall, there are three sources of anti-Semitism that we're dealing with. On the left, they are attacking the Jewish state and undermining it, making it easier for jihadists in the Middle East to attack Israel, and that's a huge threat. And then you've got the jihadists themselves, and then you've got the right wing, which, for the two synagogue shootings, I think you would probably want to characterize them more on the right than on the left. And this is, I think, the problem is that each one of these threats presents its own problem. But the reason why I am so concerned about this stuff coming from the right, and I'm on the right, okay?
Right. We're both conservative. We're on the right in that respect, yep.
But the fact is that, the Poway shooting in California, and I don't know if it's fair to characterize white nationalism and this type of Nazism as coming from the right. And the problem is that at the end, it all meets no horseshoe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, listen, Dexter, Brian, thank you for the call. So we're absolutely saying a lot of the same thing you're saying there. Dexter, in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, came out in 1992, and we're just now releasing the new expanded edition, which has shocking, eye-opening material. So friends, if you haven't ordered it yet, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, or wherever you get your books. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, but get the revised edition. Comes out next month, revised and expanded. But what I pointed out in 92, and I point out again now, that what black supremacists and white supremacists have in common is hatred of the Jew. So within a matter of days, you have Louis Farrakhan with his calling Jews termite to a shooting in the synagogue, all Jews must die. That's the horseshoe. That's what it comes back to. Dexter, are you aware, because this has been pointed out on YouTube now during the show, that CAMRA is a front for the ADL? Were you aware of that?
No, but you never know. It's one of those conspiracies that, you know, the thing is it may be so deep that I don't even know about it. I saw that comment, by the way. I did see that comment.
Okay.
And I laughed. I wanted to, and also it said, does Dexter work for the ADL? And no, I don't, but my response to that is, well, maybe you don't like the ADL, okay? But can you deal with their arguments on a factual basis or not?
Yeah.
But no, I did not know CAMRA worked for the ADL.
You know how far it goes, Dexter? From the earliest years when I was a believer in Jesus, I started meeting with rabbis with Chabad Lubavitch. It's an ultra-Orthodox Jewish group. So they do outreach. So they're trying to reach me. I'm trying to reach them. So I've had countless hours interacting with Chabad rabbis. And I know that I'm marked in certain Chabad circles as this very effective missionary to the Jewish people, reaching Jewish people with the message of Jesus. So Chabad and I, even though I have friends within it, you know, that I interact with, we've been clashing for decades. And some of them would look at me as public enemy number one in terms of winning Jews to Jesus. I've been told, Dexter, that I'm actually secretly working for Chabad and that I infiltrated the church to get the church to corrupt the doctrine of Jesus. So it's scary. But, you know, I bring this out that people make these crazy comments because they cannot deal with truth and facts. Tell you what, friends, go to CAMRA every day for a month and do a fact check. Tell you what. Go to CAMRA, look at an archive of articles by Dexter Van Zyl. Do a fact check. And if it rocks your world, let it rock your world. Follow the truth wherever it leads. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the line of fire. I'm speaking with Dexter Van Zyl. He has a compilation of some of his writings called Submitted Under Protest, Essays Written in Defense of Western Freedom. And let me just say this. I'm on record publicly as saying I did not want E. Michael Jones' YouTube channel blocked. I don't like what he's putting out. I feel what he's putting out is dangerous. I feel the types of things he says against, quote, the Jews could lead to violence. I told him that on my broadcast. He wrote a mini book attacking me for saying that. All right, but it's not long after I warned about that the Poway shooting happened, and a lot of what was quoted in there sounded like the very rhetoric that Dr. Jones is espousing. No, the shooter's responsible, and the shooter may never have heard of Dr. Jones. But although I don't like what he's saying, I absolutely did not want him blocked on YouTube, and I posted that publicly just for the record. But it doesn't mean I don't think things are dangerous. All right, Dexter, let's grab another call here. We go to Laurie in Central New York. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr.
Hello.
Brown?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to make a comment about previous callers, previous guests, And also your current guest. And
well, it's got we've got time is short, so you just have to focus on anti-Semitism. Yeah.
All right. I think that the main issue is that anti-Semitism is a characteristic of the rise of socialism. And socialism is inherently anti-Semitic because everything is couched in the terms of the oppressor and the victim. So that Jews are looked at as being an oppressor because of being a successful community. And I'd like to point out something. The Pope is a socialist. Okay? And the other thing, Nazism is firmly on the left.
That's why Dexter just said nuanced about white nationalism and then Nazism and where you put that, because the white nationalism is clearly on the right. All right, so Dexter, what's your response to that, one? And then two, I want to make sure you share anything more that you feel is important for us to know about E. Michael Jones. Thank you, Laura. I'm sure there's more you have to say, and please call to comment on the other things again. But time is short, and I need to stay focused here. Go ahead, Dexter.
Well, I think she's got a point, because one of the interesting things is that, you know, one of the main thrusts of anti-Semitism is envy. And I don't think that you can deny that socialism and communism promote envy and grievance. The problem is that I don't think that you can say that it's exclusively only the result, anti-Semitism is the result of only socialism, because I'm willing to bet, and I'm going to get a copy of your book, by the way.
I'll send it to you, my gift.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that there are instances of anti-Semitism, there was a long history of Jew hatred before Karl Marx ever put pen to paper. And I think that it's part of the human condition. And this was, we had a conversation about this, and I think you're right. I used to think that anti-Semitism was going to go away as a result of the Holocaust and that we would never have a problem with it. And we were speaking at the Christ at the Checkpoint conference, and you said, oh, no, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but I think it's been around for as long as, you know, it's a human impulse to look for a scapegoat.
Yep.
And the thing is that we have Christian theologians and Christian writers have set in motion a narrative in which people can choose the Jews as their scapegoat. And I think the one message that I would want people to take away from my readings and my take on E. Michael Jones is kind of a Christological response. Is the cross basically presents Christians with a challenge? You know, who are you going to be like? Are you going to embrace Jesus' forgiveness, and are you going to somehow try and unite your suffering and unhappiness with that of the redemptive powers of Christ and His redemptive suffering, or are you going to side with the mob that put Him there and join your rage and anger over the circumstances of your life and the world that you find yourself in? Are you going to join your rage over those things with the people who were looking for a scapegoat? And I think that ultimately the writings of E. Michael Jones would have his followers combine their rage with that of the mob, and not the forgiveness and not their suffering with that of Christ. And that's really the choice that... And I don't think that taking his stuff off of YouTube is going to fix the problem, because he's on another website now. He's on another video channel. And the real question is whether or not, you know, Christian pastors and theologians can make the race. He is in a race, and he is using the internet to reach out to young Christians, young Catholics especially, to get them to join the mob of anti-Semites. And we need better pastors who can basically get in the race with him and win hearts, so that they bring people to a better understanding of the cross. And that's in the Protestant world and in the Catholic world and the evangelical world and in the Orthodox world. We need pastors and people like you who get people to realize that they have to join their suffering with that of the redemptive suffering of Jesus. And I am working for CAMRA, which is a member of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, and here I am you know, asking you to preach the gospel of Christ's suffering and forgiveness to your listeners. So, I've seen you've done that. You did that at Christ at the Checkpoint, and that's what we'll, you know, because that's the race. Getting him canceled on YouTube isn't going to work.
Right, and again, what we're saying is, get the truth out. Get the truth out. Not suppress other voices, not suppress and silence dissenting opinions, but combat lies with truth. So, you know, what I find so burdensome, Dexter, when I came to faith in late 1971, my dad said, Michael, I'm glad you're off drugs, because I was a heavy drug user, a teenager, but we're Jews, we don't believe this. He introduced me to the local rabbi, who became a dear friend for many, many years. The first thing the rabbi did was gave me a book about anti-Semitism in church history, both Catholic and Protestant. It was shocking to read, but I had no connection with it. I wasn't in a mainstream church that looked a lot of church history. I didn't grow up experiencing a lot of anti-Semitism, really hardly any in my community. So I kind of bypassed it, but I knew it. I was shocked by it. And then over the years, I became increasingly burdened to tell that story and wrote Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. But it was mainly stuff I was documenting from the past and then seeing in the extremists on the right and on the left and things like that, because I almost never, ever, 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 ever ran into committed Christians who were anti-Semites. In fact, going around the world, I found extraordinary love for Israel, love for the Jewish people, prayer for Israel, etc. I've told many rabbis, I wish I could take you around the world to meet these people because this is the church I know. But in the last 6 months, Dexter, I have confronted more anti-Semitism coming from professing Christians, both Catholic and evangelical, than I have in the previous 47 years combined. So we've got 2 minutes. Sound a closing alarm for our listeners and viewers.
Well, I think we have to accept the fact that the taboo against anti-Semitism that was in force for 50 or 60 years after the Holocaust is gone. Mm. And that we are now essentially in, things have returned to normal. That's really, and the normal state is animus towards Jews. And right now we are in a race for people's hearts and minds so that to determine whether or not, they're able to respond to the chaos of existence with the true manifestation of Christ, or whether or not they're going to embrace some sort of singular explanation that blames the Jews for everything. And that is a profoundly important issue, and it's almost as if we're in the Weimar Republic of Germany. We're dealing with a lot of humiliated and suffering young men and young people, and there is one group that wants to give them a scapegoat, and the other one wants to give them the love of Christ. And we have to make a decision. And each one of us makes it one at a time.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is that all my life as a follower of Jesus, I've thanked God for the death of Jesus. I've celebrated the death of Jesus. I've recognized that God sent his son to die for us, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and that it's our sins that nailed him to the cross. And this idea that the Jews are Christ's chosen, and the Jews are guilty of deicide, and then the Jews need to suffer and die for what they did or whatever the theologies have been, is so utterly foreign to anything I've ever found among another Christian, because that's not the attitude a Christian would have. So, friends, what Dexter is saying is two things. One, expose lies with truth. There are a lot of lies circulating about when you just see something about the Jews, look twice. Whatever it is, whatever it's positive or negative, just look twice, because the general categorization can lead to real misunderstanding, and then when it's negative, to demonization. Look for truth. Go to camera.org, spelled just like the word camera, camera.org. Check it out regularly. You'll be shocked to see the misreporting in the media. And then have a Christian attitude. Let's overcome hatred with love. Let's overcome lies with truth. Dexter, keep up the good work. It can be daunting, but actually, when you're on the side of truth, then you know that God is with you. God bless you, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.